Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Open your hearts, loosen your butts. It's time for couples therapy.
Yeah, this podcast is Andy and Naomi's, where they can both laugh and hang with all their homies, talking excellent vacationing with brunches and cuddling, to messy situationships and conscious and coupling, from Netflix hookups to single them with some Hulu, text sex regrets or feeling on your new jubu. They gon' talk about it, yeah, you are invited, needing therapy, I guarantee, baby, we got it.
It's couples therapy.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Couples Therapy. My name is Naomi.
My name is Andy.
And we're a real-life couple.
A real-life couple of comedians.
And on Couples Therapy, we answer a couple of questions from a couple different listeners.
Heck
yes. Ain't that the truth? Andy, how you feeling, sister girl?
Sorry, I was about to, as a joke, say finna. but then I'm like, no one wants Andy to, as I say in a future episode with Brian Simpson, become a rapping grandma type.
The point is, Andy, I was asking you a question. How you living, baby girl?
Living large.
That's not, wonderful.
Not living single.
No, you ain't. I'm up in here. My energy taking up the whole apartment.
That's not true. But I am loving life at the moment because it was just Mabel's get day. Her gotcha day. Is that what it's called?
Her gotcha day. Her adoptiversary. Last week, Mabe was 2 years. August 31st marked 2 years with Miss Maybelline, and that was beautiful. What did we do? I couldn't find any like gotcha day cookies, so I just got her a birthday cookie. And then you guys, the birthday cookie was too hard for her to actually chew, so then I tried to soak it in water to soften it up.
It was so gross. I went to the kitchen. I thought you were soaking your retainer for a second. And I was like,
gross. Is your retainer okay?
Instead, it was just this like hard cookie slowly dissolving in water in a piece of Tupperware.
I didn't know how to soften the cookie. I wanted her to eat it, but
it looked like you were doing a science fair experiment.
No, I know. Like I was like trying to grow mold or something.
Yeah, or like I bet if I put a cookie in water and then put some electrodes in there, I can make electricity.
And then I also gave her a bath that day. And I'll tell you, she's been smelling good. Because I'm telling you right now, honey, she doesn't like a bath, but there's no greater gift you can give yourself than a bath. By that, I mean cleaning. You know, I don't like to sit in water, but just to clean yourself.
Can you believe 2 years?
I mean,
2 years with this little stinger.
The craziest 2 years ever. She was really a good, you know, this is both of our first dog ever, you know, and we've certainly learned a lot through Stink.
How far in did we notice she had a breast lump? Like, after how many months?
That lump would have been December 2019, I think. Because I remember I would have noticed it in December. We took her for her checkup in January.
Right.
The doctor said, it's probably benign. Dogs get these little things when they're spayed late. And then I noticed maybe 2 months later, it was getting a little bigger. And then Coco happened, and nobody was doing unnecessary surgeries,
right?
The vets. So then I had to wait, and then she got that surgery in July. That's how long we had to wait until it was like, can we get on a schedule for you to take out the lumps?
But it was like just months after we got her.
I mean, yeah. So what is that? April to December? So 8 months? 8 months after we got her.
We got her in August.
Oh my God, you're right. Why do I keep saying April? Yeah. So like, yeah, 4 months after we got her.
Jesus.
I know. And I think it's only because you and I are both new dog parents and hyper aware that I even, you know, we went in and I go, what is that? You know, like I felt the tiniest little lump.
You had a switchblade. You pushed the button, you held up to the doctor's neck and you're like, what is that lump?
What is that lump? What is that lump? I mean, constantly asking them about every little thing. So, yeah, you're right. My God, 4 months.
Do you know who has, by the way, Naomi, for their dog, who has the same vest that Mabel has? What do you call it? A walking vest? What is that thing?
A harness.
A harness. A
walking vest. A harness.
What's that thing that John Popper wears? A harmonica vest. You know who has the same one for their dog?
Today's guest?
Today's guest.
Oh my God, Andy, you're right. Today's guest, Adie Bryant, has a wonderful dog who has the same blue harness that Miss Maybelline has. Love that segue. You know Adie Bryant from her show Shrill on Hulu. You can watch all the seasons now. And you know her for Saturday Night Live, okay? Don't pretend like you don't. You do. Adie is wonderful. She's a damn delight. And she was so great about answering your questions with love and an open heart.
Yeah,
she came with a real open heart.
She is really nice.
She's such a sweet gal.
And it's so funny because her husband, Connor, is also super nice.
Mm-hmm.
But the characters he plays are unhinged.
We talked to her about it.
Because I interviewed him on my podcast Beginnings like years ago.
Yeah.
And I was just so surprised at like how normal he is.
Right.
And,
he's like,
you know,
thoughtful and yeah, just like soft spoken a little bit. They're just a real wholesome couple together. And it was nice to just like get in there with them.
Can I say that I knew Adie was going to be a great person when Mabel was backstage at the show that you did with her in New York.
Uh-huh.
And Mabel reached out her hands to Connor and they touched hands. And Adie lost her mind. And I was like, that's a good person.
And I believe you do have that on camera. And
yeah,
it is in your IG. So
at Andy Beckerman on Instagram.
Speaking of things people should do on yeah, so online, as you guys know, we do have t-shirts. We have Couples Therapy logo shirts. We have Couples Therapy Quarantine Crew shirts. And we got Jubu shirts. So if you want to get any of those for the culture, for the fam, for the friends, go to the link in our bio and you can pick those up. They're very nice, good cotton, not stiff, honey. These will last. These will last and they'll feel good.
Naomi, also, do you not have an online show coming up?
Well, 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 thank you so much for asking. Yes, honey. On Thursday, September 23rd, 6 p.m. Pacific time, 9 p.m. Eastern, I will be doing a set on An Evening at the Ha Ha Hole with Sarah Schaefer. If you don't know Sarah Schaefer, who's a very funny comedian, she is really into making miniatures. And over the pandemic, she got all in and is so good at it. And she built a mini comedy club at like, and she's making little dolls of performers. So for instance, me and Danielle Perez, we're doing the show and it's an online show. So wherever you are, you can get tickets and watch it. And basically you're watching our little mini avatars perform in the Ha Ha Hole. And it is very funny and good looking and cool. So if you have any interest, go on TicketTailor.com, TicketTailor.com, and grab some tickets.
All right.
I think that's it.
I hope everyone had a good Rosh Hashanah.
Me too.
But for now, roll it. That felt to me very 80. Now,
interesting.
I don't.
Go ahead.
I've only met you once, so
exactly.
I only know you through characters you've played.
Uh huh.
But that felt very 80 to me.
Yes.
Was it? What do you think that the way that you said the tagline is in fact indicative of your inner self?
I think it's all I've got. Yes.
Adie, where are you from originally?
I'm from Phoenix, Arizona.
Arizona. I think you know what it is. I asked that because, and I'm sure this makes no sense, you have a Midwestern warmth to me. Do you know what I mean? And so even just when Andy was saying, like, this is what, I'm like, you do. You have a warmth about you. And I remember when we met, like, it was funny because, you know, we met in person fairly recently, but both of us was like, haven't we met before?
I know.
And you know what
it
was?
We felt it.
It was a soul connection. It was a soul connection. We felt it.
Yeah, I don't know. I did live in the Midwest for 7 years.
Yeah.
So maybe I went from ice-hearted desert bitch to absolute potato.
Absolute potato.
No, I do. I think we had an instant soul connection. I mean, which is why, like, I was like, you know, we have to continue this hang.
Wait, is Phoenix? All I know about Phoenix is it's flat. One of my friends from grad school is from there. That's it. Those are my two facts. One of them, a fact only interesting to me.
Phoenix facts, P-H-A-C-T-S.
Yeah, you know, it's really, really hot. Like, sometimes it's like 117 degrees.
Right. Not habitable.
No, not good. Not a good place to live. And I spent my entire childhood deeply sunburned. So that was it.
Oh gosh, I can only imagine.
Sorry, I'm trying to. Oh, you go. I was trying to put myself emotionally in this place, and I don't know if I would feel emotions in a place that is so hot. I think I would just be kind of like grasping just for the slightest bit of coolness, and therefore I would never dig deeper in myself. I don't know if that's the actual experience.
No, I think you've hit it on the head. I mean, I think, in a weird way, because I was so hot for so many years, I just had like a low grade anger at all times.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now, I mean, anyone who knows me knows this, that like, I cannot stand to be hot. Like, if I'm hot for even one moment, mm-hmm. I think it's like PTSD. Because I had heat stroke as a kid, like a couple times, God. Which is like, you're literally poisoned by the sun.
Oh, God.
Haunting, you know?
Yeah.
You can't win. You can't win against him.
Do you have to go to the hospital for heat stroke?
I didn't. I actually just got scooped up and put into basically a little like ice chamber.
Uh-huh. A little ice bath or something.
Yeah. But that's it. I don't know. It was bad.
The closest I get to this is when we have gone to Palm Springs, Andy and I, again, the desert, right? And when I am walking around a place that's hot, I feel like there's an adversarial relationship between man and the land, okay? It feels like this is not habitable space. What are we doing? There's no reason there should be houses here. Like, everything about it just feels so wrong, and like, I just always think we're trying to make fetch happen. Basically, like, we're trying to make this a place where there are movie theaters and restaurants, and really, there should be nothing here. Do you see what I'm saying? Because, like, everything you need to use to cool it down.
Right,
and
you're angry about Manifest Destiny.
Absolutely. It feels like, you know what, humans, we should have just stopped.
Stopped at the Colorado River.
Stopped at the Colorado River. That's what you're right.
Absolute.
I just think it changes the way you kind of feel about the world, because were you also, I mean, well, I would imagine too, you have to be an indoor kid when the sun will kill you. So you're just in there doing makeup ups in the house.
Completely like choreographing Spice Girls songs in my bedroom. But yeah, movies, if someone had a pool, you would go dip your ass in there, you know?
That's it.
But I don't know. I loved it, but I can't ever live there again.
Can I just say, by the way, Poisoned by the Sun would have been a great Slater Kinney album title.
could be huge. That's their next one.
But no, I asked about the emotional stuff. Sorry. I just got out of therapy. So
he just got out.
Oh, me too.
We did a real, did you do a real one? We did a real, there was like some family stuff in there.
Oh no, mine was sort of light actually. I mean, I still cried. I cry every time, but it was like a positive cry, which is nice.
That's nice.
Oh yeah. You want a positive cry. I've almost teared up in therapy, but
almost teared up.
There's a feeling where I'm just like, I don't want my therapist to feel like she's made me get here. Like, I don't want her to get big britches.
Oh, you don't want her to feel like, ooh, I broke him.
Yes, exactly.
I cracked him.
This kind of like real, you know, because of course, obviously, everyone knows I'm a real man's man.
Really, you're very mask. You're very mask.
Super mask, right?
That's what it says in the chat.
Yes. Oh, I put in the chat, by the way, it says, please agree when we talk about Andy's masculinity. Please boost it. But no. But like, so I'm in this kind of place where I'm like thinking about stuff and I'm trying to like, were you always this kind of warm Midwestern person? Or is that something more that's like, as you move to Chicago, as you like maybe started performing? I know that for me personally, performing was this kind of like impetus to become more open, because otherwise it was just going to be like obscure bullshit.
On stage, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I don't know. I mean, if we really want to get down into the therapy dirt of it, I think that because I was like a young fat girl in like a place where everyone was in tank tops and swimsuits like year round, I was like, I gotta really trick them into being okay to be around here. And so I will dance and do a goofaroo. You want to see me humiliate myself? Check this out kind of vibe. Uh-huh. Like deep, deep people-pleasing energy of like, I swear I'm not horrible. And then I actually think in a weird way, then when I got to Chicago, I was like, oh, this is like kind of a tool I can use to like make comedy, or like, I don't know, you know what I mean? Like almost take my people pleasing tendencies and like get under them a little bit, or like use it like to play the opposite and get a reaction, or like, you know, I mean, I feel like a lot in like my comedy or whatever, I'm like playing the opposite of my type or whatever. Like there's a lot to type, and I think there's like people pleasy friendly sweetie is something you think you know, but you have no idea. This is the diary of, you know?
Yes.
When did you become self-aware of that? Right? Because there was obviously a point where you were just reacting, like you said, to like, I want people to like me. And then there was a point where you got control of it and you kind of could use it as a comedic device.
I mean, honestly, probably only in the last like 10 years. Like when I really got into therapy and started being like, oh, wait, why do I do this? Or like, how do I act in a space? Or like, why am I hunting this down, you know?
What prompted you to get into therapy? Was something happening, or was it just, as you're saying right now, you just having some questions that you wanted some answers to?
I got on SNL and was like, oh no, I need to speak with someone.
Yeah.
Because it's terrifying. Rips you apart a little bit.
Yeah.
And I had never been on camera. I had, you know, I was living in an apartment where I was paying $400 a month for my apartment. Like, it was just such a drastic life change that I was like, I need something to help me cope. I feel like this is becoming a really serious episode really fast.
No.
Is that okay? You guys always have such fun episodes, and I'm like, I'm mentally unwell.
Oh, God, no.
No, we are both mentally unwell,
We're both unwell, and it's also just like to know who else is unwell. That's really part of the connection. And because we're all people-pleasing comedians, even when we're sharing our sickness, it's a delight. So you just have to. But that makes perfect sense to me. It's funny though, because I also feel like, because right now, I'm going to say it, I'm going to out myself. I do not have a one-on-one therapist right now, and I really need one. But my thing is always feeling like I need somebody. I'm like, so many of the issues I'm having right now are tied to pursuing this creative career full time, right? Like it's all, that's most of it. It all kind of comes back to that. And it's like, I need someone who knows that world inside and out, but can give me like actionable steps. Like I can't sit up in there and explain to you what a callback is. You know what I mean?
Know,
like
I can't. I know.
I need you to get it so we could just get into my fear, anger, and jealousy. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, completely. I mean, there's nothing worse than when I'm like talking to my therapist halfway in tears and I'm like, so what a general is where you meet with someone and you don't know exactly what you're going to work on. Like, and you're just like, why am I doing this? But I don't know, at least for me, I've been with my therapist now like 5 years. And so she knows a lot of it now, like, or there's like shorthands that helps a little bit. But I really know what you mean. I mean, once I called I needed, my old therapist had moved away, so I needed to get a new one. And I called this woman, and she had been recommended to me. And she was like, oh, you know, what's your name? How old are you? What do you do? And I was like, I work in television. And she was like, and what do you do? And I was like, I'm on SNL. And then she was like, holy shit. Oh, my God. That's so cool. What is that like? And I was like, okay, so this is not going to work.
Yeah, we got to go. Like, Jesus.
She's like, you're not going to be the one.
She hands you three sketches, and she's like, one's topical. Can you please give this to Michael Che?
Yeah. Oh, I'm like, God. I think I can't tell all my secrets to this woman.
Right. She is that, like, source. You know how, like, in those in magazines, it's always like, sources close to the star say. Yes. And I'm always like, who is that person? Who is that person who's out here calling Us Weekly? It could just be a therapist.
I do want to know, like, what, do you think it's, like, friends, or is it, like, just someone who was passing by and, like, overheard?
I think it is snooping. And then they just attribute it to a source so that they can say, I think there's probably like, it's the same thing. Like there was a UK scandal, I don't know, 5-6 years ago where, or maybe longer, where like the, I forget which publication was like hacking people's phones and then just, and just using that as sources.
At Verizon,
technically, it's a primary source. They got it right for the person. They just happened to do it illegally.
See, I think it's either shady friends, you know, the people who are kind of around, because I imagine these people get paid a little something, you know, to give business, to tell people business. Or, you know who else is a person? I've always thought about this. You know how, like, agents and managers' assistants are on the phone when you talk to them?
Yes.
That would be an easy person. And you know they don't get paid enough. So they probably like, honey, let me get $100 to tell some business.
Absolutely.
$100.
I don't know. They probably get $100 a tip. I just made that up. I don't know.
I'm going to start sending in some tips. You're going to see me with fancy boots.
But SNL is like the closest you get from it, like old Hollywood. You know where they would like, I went to Schwab's and I discovered this this Dame.
Yeah, whatever. It's the closest
you get from like, I was performing at Second City and now I'm on.
Right.
Like it's a mind fuck. And I mean, I'm assuming that. Right.
No, it is. You nailed it, baby. It is. Yeah. And I think it's just so overwhelming to, like, I mean, just like what I said, like, you know, I was living a very sort of meek life and meek and meager. And then all of a sudden, I mean, like early on, you know, it's like you're surrounded by like the most famous people who have ever existed. Like, I think a couple of my first weeks, like Tom Hanks was there. And like, I totally had a moment of like, wait, what? Like, who? Why I shouldn't be here. I'm scared, you know?
Yeah, so.
It's a brain teaser for you.
Do you think therapy, like when did you, well, I'm assuming that things have settled a little bit through talking through these things in therapy. But like, when do you think that, like how long into therapy and talking about those kinds of issues do you think things settled for you?
Yeah, tell me how long it'll take to settle.
Honestly, I would say it took 4 or 5 years.
Okay.
Is that too much?
No. Because
I mean,
go on.
Yeah. No. I mean, I think it was maybe 4 or 5 years. And then, but you know, it's interesting too, because like also, then I had 4 or 5 years under my belt of being in showbiz or being on TV or having those experiences. And so, or just even becoming a more senior cast member. So all of a sudden your sketches get considered a little more or those kinds of things. So it's a lot of factors at once, but I do feel like it gave me a really good ability to like not be totally shattered or pumped up by like exterior events in my life. You know what I mean?
Wow. To not be shattered or pumped up by exterior events. A.D. Bryant, tell me more.
Naomi, oh, I'm dying.
Oh my God. Andy, can you imagine?
No, this is the thing I've been like trying to figure out. Can I dull the shattered feeling while not dulling the joy?
He like won't let himself get happy. Like when stuff does happen for him, I'm always like, yeah. And he's like, You know,
we'll see. Once this is
I think that's healthy. That's protective on some level, you know.
Well, because I've had so many disappointments. I've had so many things where it's like, oh, this is going to be a TV show. And then like 2 weeks later, yeah. It's like, yeah, someone was fired. So no. So we'll never talk to you again. Get out of here.
But I think that is maybe like a good example of like one of those things where it's like, that doesn't reflect on like whether you are good or bad. And I think at least pre-therapy, I was like, this guy got fired. That means I should be beheaded. You know, like it's just not a good way to live.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now I do. So, you know, you are a married person before.
Oh yeah.
Before you found the person you're married to. Like, had you had a Connor? Lot of relationships? I know. No, we were just joking. I was like, what if I just danced around saying his actual physical name the whole time? And I was like, that could be fun.
The whole time I'm like, he's husband.
Connor is Connor's so interesting because he's one of the most normal people. Like he was on my other podcast, Beginnings. It's great. Like and then you see his characters, which are the most
unhinged. Yes. That's what I'll say unhinged. I was terrified of him, and I will say it's knowing that y'all are a couple that was like, oh no, he gotta be cool.
Yeah,
because like it's like he can't be that unhinged because like 80 is sweet, so it can't.
It's so
really
funny
be.
I think people are really scared of him. So many times we will like meet someone or hang out with them, and then afterwards they'll be like, does he hate me? And I'm like, no, he's just sort of quiet. Like he's kind of a quieter, more gentle presence, I guess, than maybe people expect. And
because he goes on stage and yells at you. So it's like, because I remember the first time I met him, he was doing some characters, like something having to do with Shrek or like the townspeople where Shrek was. It was somewhere he was like yelling in UCB East. And I remember thinking it was hilarious. But then like when I went to tell him afterwards, he was so kind of quiet about, you know, I was like, oh my God, it was so funny. And he's like, thank you. Like, it was just so low key that I was like, okay, you don't want to talk right now. Maybe you're just kind of coming down from your craft. I'm going to just go be in the corner.
Well, he's kind of a sexy, shy guy.
Is that your type? Like, before Connor.
Sexy, shy guys.
Yeah, sexy, shy guys. And what I mean by that is, of course, the from Super Mario Brothers 2, the enemy shy guys.
Oh, okay. I don't know that reference.
Yes. Cosplaying. sexy shy guys. No, but like, was that your type? Like, is that...
Well, my question was first, did you have a lot of BFs, okay? I want to know, like, you know, if there were a lot of BFs before finding the one, you know? And then you could say sexy shy guys.
I would say I had a healthy amount of sexy shy guys before my final sexy shy guy. You know, I probably like had two more serious boyfriends before I met Connor, but I met Connor when I was 21.
You were young. You were a baby.
I was actually a baby. So I had kind of two serious boyfriends and then, you know, some little flings, but not like, I wouldn't call them like true relationships.
Yeah.
As much as they were like someone who I would kind of kick it with here and there and had a big crush on, but never really made it happen in that way, like where we were together a long time.
That's
smooching.
Yeah. Smoochin'.
I would call it smooching and grinding. Sure.
Smooching and grinding.
I just don't want to. I always say smooching because I never know what the. I mean, first of all, Naomi and I don't like. As we say almost every episode, I'm sex neutral. She is sex negative. So
yes, we're not
interested in talking about that stuff necessarily. But also, I don't know what the boundaries of the guests are. So I'm just like,
let's just
call it smooching, and we can.
Sure. Well, I'm happy to say jean jamming or whatever you wish.
I love that. That's good. Now that we gotta add to the lexicon, jean jamming.
So you were jean jamming with some shy guys.
That could be my book, jean jamming with shy guys.
Not a bad title. Hey, Slater Kinney, if you're listening, Carrie, if you're listening, Poisoned by the Sun.
We're gonna reach out.
Have people reach out.
Jean jamming with shy guys.
But. You know, because I feel this way, even though you and I, we were older, but certainly I do feel like because in the process of being together, Andy and I, you know, we kind of develop these careers, right? When you're with someone kind of in this time where it's like, you really do kind of grow up together and figure out who you are when this stuff kind of happens. And it's, I'm always like, I can't believe we've made it through. I can't believe we've made it through all this, just because it's such a major change, not just like something like SNL, but even just when you decide, oh, this is what I want to do for a living. And everything that comes with that, right? Like, once you kind of say, I am committing to uncertainty and letting others decide my worth for a while. So you want to come on this ride? And it's a lot to
but
put on a relationship.
At 21, were you committed to that? Or was it just like, this is fun? I like yes anding.
Yeah, I love doing improv with 9 men in their 30s. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I was like in Chicago and doing stuff around the city enough that I was like, oh, I want to take this seriously. And I mean, honestly, I guess so I was still in college when we like hooked it up, guys. And then shortly after I graduated, I got hired by Second City. We both did. We got hired together and went to... We went to work on a cruise ship together, performing for Second City, which was pure darkness. But that was like maybe our first kind of big test, because we lived together in a room that was just a bed with no windows. And no Wi-Fi. So
Oh, wait. So even when you work on it, you don't get free Wi-Fi? Because I know you have to pay when you're on a cruise ship, but I thought if you work there, you get some access.
No, we had to pay for it. And when we were there, it was like truly like Wi-Fi by like someone who was like cranking a wheel. Like it was not.
In the bottom of the ship, and they were like pushing.
Fully. We're talking like 2008. You know?
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. So I don't know. So, but we had like some early big things together that were like, okay, this is pretty good. This is pretty legit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What about these the two gentlemen before?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Well, Adie was an infant. She was an infant.
Yes,
that was,
for one
that
of
was just gene jamming. That was just gene jamming.
Well, one was, you know, my first true boyfriend. I was, like, in high school.
Ooh.
Yeah, sort of a teen love. And I would say that the thing that was cool about him was he was very connected to like cool music scene. So like we would go see like Rilo Kiley at like, you know, like that kind of thing. And so I was very like horny for that. I was like, this is a cool guy. Like he's a cool guy. He knows cool stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I wish my indie rock cred in high school had been enticing to anyone.
It didn't do it. It didn't do it.
No, not in Reading. In the secondary market that Phoenix is? Sure.
Secondary
Absolutely.
Market. Yes.
Absolutely. Well, all the like hot guys at my high school were like Olympic swimmer energy, you know?
Really?
Like, like big blonde guys who were deeply tall. And I was like, this ain't for me. I need like a short little weird indie guy who plays the piano really well.
I love it. God, I'm with you. I'm with you on that.
Where were you guys when I was in high school?
You know what? You had to bake. You had to fully bake. You had to go through that dark time so that as a grown-ass man, you behave yourself. Okay? Because if you had been popular in high school, you would have been a monster. You'd be a monster right now. Mm. Don't you think?
Absolutely. You couldn't have handled it. You weren't ready.
You weren't ready. It messes with your mind. Well, I always say that, though. I'm like, so glad I was, in a way, a sexless nerd. Because I think, like, because when you even talk about, like, a boyfriend in high school, like, I had such low self-esteem and was so, you know, into boys and I wanted someone to like me and I always liked somebody. Like, I swear to God, if I had a boyfriend in high school, I would be 16 and pregnant. Do you know what I mean? Because I would have been like, he loves me. And then I would have been like, sex. And then I'm like, he says condoms don't feel good. I trust him. Like, I think I would have been that person. So it's very good that I did not lose my virginity until sophomore year of college.
Well, also, like, I feel like the way I had crushes on boys, like, when I was in high school was, like, I look back on it, I'm like, that's so depressing. Like, I would, like, memorize like we would take tests, and instead of putting your name at the top, you would put your student ID number, and then we would grade each other's papers, which is insane. But I then was like, okay, I have to figure out which student ID number is his.
Yep.
So that then when I like right at the bottom, like graded by 80, I do it kind of cute, which is like so sad. Like that's maybe the least horny thing you could do would be to have that person grade your Latin paper or whatever.
Agricola, I am a perfect. P-U-R-R-F-E-C-T with a heart at the end.
With a heart at the end.
Did you write in your notebooks, Mrs. 1378632 over and over again?
I should have. Could have been cool.
No. I mean, some of these questions that I'm asked because I'm curious about like how romantically, but both as you become yourself as a performer, gone through therapy, how has this stuff impacted you romantically?
The way you like behave in
or see yourself in a romantic relationship.
Gosh. I would even say friendships as well. Yeah. You know, the
We're going to open it up to
open
all
it
kinds
up, because it's about like how you kind of communicate with people. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
at least that's what I
yeah.
think about. So go ahead,
totally.
AD.
Oh my God. No, I mean, I know what you mean. Like, I feel like, I mean, good example, like probably my first two relationships or even like my friendships, I was very like, whatever they say, I'll do. Or like, you know, like if they want me to come over at 1 o'clock in the morning, that's my time. Like I just was so pretty much down for whatever in a way that was sad. And, you know, or just at least very like I never was asserting what I wanted out of anything. Mm-hmm. And I think what was really lucky was like kind of my second boyfriend that I had. I just was like had it with like any kind of like game playing or indirectness or any whatever. And so then when I met Connor, sorry, I'm getting very specific, but I feel like it goes to the bigger question, which is like I met Connor and he immediately was like, can I have your number? Can we go out? And it wasn't like ambiguous, like friendly, whatever. It was like, we're going to date. I was like, whoa, this is the vibe. And then I feel like pretty much from that day forward, we were like so open and honest and direct with each other that it kind of taught me like this whole other way to be. And then that like affected how I was as a performer and how I was in our relationship. And so like as we've grown, it's kind of been like our number one thing is like, if anybody has a feeling, talk it out. Say it now. Let's get into it. Well, let's talk about it for 2 hours, 5 hours, whatever. Let's get it out, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel that way about writing and performing, too, where I'm like, is there a weird vibe in this writer's room? Let's talk about it. Or, like, let's get into it. Because I can't handle, like, the kind of eggshell weirdness vibe.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah.
I wish more people were like that, though, because I'm that same way. And then people are very like, why are you trying to be honest? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know, because it's true. I always feel like, I mean, because we've talked about this a lot on the show, too, where I'm always like, it's also sometimes cultural, I'll say, where I'm like, white people don't like real talk. Because I always feel like whenever I meet black people in the business, like if I'm in a general, as we were talking about, it's always an easier conversation if the person's black. Like it just doesn't have the same, like I'll be like, what's up? What's your boss like? You know what I mean? Or like, and it'll like a more direct conversation than sort of like, yeah, so what shows are you watching? You know, and
haunting. Yeah.
And it's like, and so I know what you mean, like, because that's like all I ever want is just like, is everyone having a feeling? We talk about how, like, if I ever ran a writer's room, I would have, first of all, everyone would be allowed to do therapy during the work week, okay?
There yeah, 100%.
There maybe even be one day a week. I said, maybe on Thursdays, we start at 11. Everyone can get their docs in, you know, top of the day. Come in and get your head right, you know? We'd have one bathroom for crying. You know what I mean? Like, I would be very, like, that's how I want to run. It's like, let's talk, because you know, it's so hard to be both creative and constantly churning out.
Yeah.
But then also not getting to feel your feelings. I'm like, how do you do both at the same time?
I also feel like writer's room, it's like too much togetherness, kind of. Like, you need to like step away, have a little time to yourself, come back.
Yes.
Now bring your ideas to the table. Let's talk through them. Great. Let's take another minute. We'll review. Let's figure out which ones we'll focus on. I don't know. I'm into like big breaks.
Yes.
Or like late starts or early ends, you know?
Yeah.
And so that you can like
says the girl who
the
works
time.
Until 5 in the morning. I'm like, geez, yeah, okay, yeah. Late starts, early ends.
But
early
probably starts. in reaction to working at SNL, like on Shrill, I was really like, let's try and use time efficiently and not just be chained to this place, you know?
Yeah.
Were you in the? Oh, you were in the writer's room?
Oh, baby, yeah.
I didn't know that. I didn't know that. God, I should have tried to get in that room.
Well, no, I think the other reason I ask those questions too is like, as a warm, empathetic person, AD, how do you maneuver in this sociopathic business? That's a question I have all the time because I find it very difficult.
To keep your soul and do what needs to be done, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the devil's business. It's filled with the devil's workers. It is not a good business, and like it is so bad, and I don't know, I think this is like another place where therapy and like being assertive is like a good thing to practice, you know. But it's really hard, and I think it's like a little bit of what we were talking about earlier of just trying not to have like my entire worth defined by like some executive who is not funny. Or like, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, it's definitely, it's ups and downs, and it's, you know, I mean, it's a weird moment too, where it's like particularly about like numbers and streamers and whatever. Like, it's just so not very much about like art or not very much about like emotion or whatever. It's really, that can be really hard. But I think that's why, like, even just what we were talking about before of like having writer's rooms that are like humane and you get close to the people you're working with, or like the people are doing this with you guys, or like any, you know, just things that are like, oh, well, this is the best part. You know, this is like fun and good. There's good people in here, but there's also bad. But I also just like, I try to not like engage too much with being like the Emmy voting is coming or like the red carpet is on its way, because it's like, that's actually like not what I got into it for. Like, I got into it because I love doing shows at like midnight that are stupid and bad, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, I think tapping into like that energy as opposed to being like, I need to be tan and hot on camera.
That's very true. I mean, I'm not really in it for midnight shows, but I'm in it for the past appetizers. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
I'm in it. I really do like going to parties, but I don't ever want to be on a carpet or anything. Like, I'm like, can I just go to the party, eat the crab cakes in a corner with like two of my friends and have no one documented in any way, shape, or form?
Of
That'd
course.
That'd be great. That's my idea.
I'm here for the midnight shows.
If there was,
I don't think there was anything more fun than doing one of the dumbest
shows.
Yeah, a bit show at UCB at midnight.
So and fun.
I was like, it's too late for this. I'm tired. I mean, even now though, when I do shows, I'm always like, can I go up first? Like, I'm just very like, I want to do the act of stand up, but I don't want to do anything else around it.
No,
you know,
or like traveling to the show or from the show. I'm like, this sucks.
Oh no, I fondly remember having to take 3 trains from Greenpoint to do a 5-minute bit at midnight under Gracides,
and you had a day job you had to be after like 9 a.m.
Come on, making smoothies for the audience while a video about death and philosophers plays in the background.
Yeah,
come on,
it's perfect. What?
And those were good smoothies. People love the smoothies. I did that bit a couple times.
Can you imagine?
Incredible review of a show is the smoothies were really good.
Why don't we take a break and we'll come back? Now I feel like we've found it.
Whatever it is,
kid,
we're inside.
Kid, you got it. Whatever it is.
And oh now we can answer listeners' relationship questions, yeah. I think, because now we know where we're at. Yeah. All right, we'll be right back.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact? You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey y'all, wanted to pop in real quick and let you know that if you like what you hear and you want to support the show, there are a couple different ways.
Most of our support comes from our wonderful Patreon community. For $5 a month, you get 2 bonus episodes of just us mostly spilling the tea and occasionally searching for crazy bread in Los Angeles, plus lots of other bonus content. We love our page pals and we couldn't do this without you. And if you want to join, go to patreon.com/couplestherapypod.
We also have merch, which includes Gotta Miss a Bitch and Jubu t-shirts, yeah, which you can find in the link tree in our Twitter or Insta bios.
And for absolutely $0, you can rate and review the show on Apple.
5 stars, please. It'll only take 10 seconds, and it helps us tremendously. Okay, that's it. We love you deeply. Now back to the show. And we're back with AD Bryant, honey, here to handle your scandal. And, you know, now we know where AD's coming from, okay? She's survived heat stroke to find love and success inside her heart. You guys, we love when you send us your questions. My favorite, as always, is when you call in and leave a voicemail, okay? We're talking 323-524-7839. That is who you call, honey, if you want us to help you out. You can also send us an email at couplestherapypod@gmail.com. DM us on Twitter and Instagram. You got options, okay? Don't say I never gave you nothing. Now.
All right. Here's the first voicemail.
Hi, Andy and Naomi and special guest. I'm calling to get some advice on an issue about insecurity I've been having. I've had a best friend for 15 years and recently started dating a good friend of hers that she met in college about 7 years ago. They don't have a dating history, but I know that he was kind of had a crush on her for a while, and she has told me before that, you know, he's the person she made the deal with that if they don't have kids when they're 40, they'll have a kid together, and that she would totally snatch him up, but is just not into him because of his looks. And maybe a lot of the look stuff doesn't matter to me, which makes me like that comment whole usually baffling to me, but it leaves me feeling really insecure in this relationship. Because I, you know, I'm wondering, like, if he is just dating me because he can't date her, and it makes me really jealous of their friendship, and it's a long-distance relationship, so every time he visits me and my best friend live in the same city, I feel like I'm going to have to share my time with him, and I know that the solution here is communication. I just really don't know how to bring this issue up without coming across as creepy and jealous and like I have a problem with their friendship. I just want to know that like I'm actually the person he wants to be dating, which is rooted in my deeper insecurities, but I'm working on that with my real therapist. Anyway, thank you for whatever advice you have to give. I love your show so much and can't wait to hear. Have a great day.
Wow.
Wow.
This is real tricky. This is a sticky wicket. Like,
this is the juiciest, wildest call. I'm so impressed.
What do you think, Adi? Have you ever had, like, you know, a crush on a friend's friend or a friend's ex, or maybe they had a crush on you? You know, have you ever been in this situation? Because it's not surprising to me, you know, when friends have that kind of romantic overlap, even though it's not overlap, because she's sounding like the friend is like, well, he ugly, but he cool. So maybe when I'm 40, I'll have him. It's sound like what she's saying. It's like, anyway, sorry.
Oh, he ugly, but he cool is a huge.
That's what it sounds like. That girl is like, which I think is so rude to say about saying your friend, like about
their. Well, I assume before they were dating.
Oh, that she said that.
Yeah.
Maybe, but who knows?
It's definitely like most of the call. I was like, get out. You can't. This is no. Get out of here. But then now I'm weirdly like, I feel like you just got to have some like very real ass conversations, you know?
Yeah.
And probably one with the friend and one with the boyfriend.
Yeah.
And maybe not together.
No, definitely. You know? I was thinking that, too. I was like, oh, it's got to be two convos. Definitely. Yeah. But I also think that. The question I have, the big one is like, how long have they been dating? Because to me, you know, because she's saying here like, oh, I don't want to seem creepy or something. It's like, you're not creepy. If y'all have been on two dates and you're like, who do you love more? Like, that's different. But if you are in a long distance, you know, monogamous relationship with this person and you just want to know what's up, I think you have every right to ask that question. I think here's the thing about that question, though. You ask that question. He tells you the truth, and you have to believe him and let it live there.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Because the tricky thing can be like you, even if you get the answer, which in my point being, he'll say like, I want to be with you. You're the person I care for. You know, I have feelings for her in the past. Maybe he says something like that, but it's over. You know, you got to believe that. And you got to leave it there as opposed to then constantly needing to be reassured or not trust them or be like, you hanging out with her, you know, whatever. That's the question. That is the thing that you know, and that's where, you know, you said you're talking to your real therapist, not two comedians who you just listened to. And you're going to figure out if that's the way to go. But you got to like, you got to let it lie once you have the real conversation.
This is one of the most difficult questions I think we've ever had on this show.
My God, we're stumped.
Because I don't know. I'm kind of with 80s original feeling, which is like, get out of this. Hmm. Because I don't know. But just because it's like, so the friend, the best friend, this is her. I don't know. The guy crushed on her and then couldn't attain her. This is such like a sitcom setup. This is like some kind of like, this is like Ross and Rachel or something like that, right? Mm-hmm. This is like, and
Joey. When Joey and Rachel got together, we were like, what's going on?
Yeah. It's exactly when, that's how terrible this is. It's when Joey and Rachel got together.
No, but I don't want our listener to feel like, no, we're not saying, I don't believe you are second place.
No, no,
but
I do understand
you having that concern.
Right. That's
like,
what
I understand
saying,
that concern.
That the setup gives you the insecurity.
Right.
Without there being any kind of actual context clues to give you insecurity.
Right. Just the situation.
I also feel like a little piece of it is like having a real ass, like, burn it down conversation with your friend that is like, do you have any deep down devil when we turn 40 feelings for this man? Because if so, that's going to always kind of be there. And I think you're ultimately going to have to be like, am I here for this friendship or am I here for this relationship? Because if she still has stuff underneath for this guy,
right,
it's never going to feel good. You know,
right.
It's always gonna feel a little crunchy over there. You know?
A little crunchy.
Have either of you been in any kind of situation like this?
Well, the thing is, you're turning it to us, but I know you have, and I want to ask you.
Oh! Have I?
Well, here's the thing. You had a girlfriend in college who went on to date one or two of your friends after y'all broke up.
Yeah, but that was afterwards.
Well, right, but I'm saying...
And I had already moved on to... And I was dating... I was in another serious relationship when that was happening.
So it was okay for you to... Even though y'all weren't together, because this is... The similarity here is, like, these two people were never really together. They just had a history. And now there's this new person in here. Like, I'm saying, did you have... It didn't bother you at all seeing her with your friends?
No, because we weren't together anymore.
Wow, someone's emotionally healthy. Okay.
Yeah, but I wasn't
so
at the time.
Right? Because I don't know. Because I do think sometimes you feel about people, you know, where you're like, okay, we weren't right together, but it's like, I don't want to see you kissing somebody else.
But I had gone first. I had gotten into a serious relationship first before she got into a serious relationship.
So you
I so think then it was, you get to be like, good for her.
Exactly. I think it was weirder that, like, I'm still good friends with the people she dated after me. I'm still friends with them.
Yeah.
I think that's weirder.
Well, that is true. That is strange. That is strange, but you keep friends. Okay, we really don't know what to do about this.
This is literally. That's really what I was gonna ask. Sorry, and I forgot the phrase. A burn it down conversation. That's what I was gonna ask. Adi, have you ever had to have one of those real ass burn it down conversations with someone? It doesn't even have to be in this kind of context. But I'm kind of curious. What did that actually change the dynamic?
I've definitely had some burn it down conversations. I kind of feel that they're like a hallmark of of growth for me, where like once every 7 years I have a burn it down conversation and deeply grow from it. But I don't know. I don't know that they always like move the needle in the right way, but they at least make it very fucking clear where everybody stands. Mm-hmm. And that makes it a lot easier to like know how to move forward. Because yep. I feel like it's kind of what we were saying earlier of like all the friendly sort of like chit chat, like of like, oh, we used to have a feeling, but now we don't. And who knows? But it's like, well, what do you really mean? You know,
exactly.
Like, I just think it's like, it's hard to kind of get the real dirt out of people sometimes, but you got to.
Yeah. I think the conversation needs to happen with a friend first. I think that'll be an easier one for you to have just because you are more comfortable with this person and like talking to them, you know, after years of friendship. So I think you need to ask them and like, you know, because if it is coming out in like little comments, you know, or like kind of totally. Stuff where it's like, I'm joking, but I'm not or whatever. It's being like, hey, can we talk about that when you said X, Y, and Z? And I really would like to know where you stand on that. If you really are just joking, in which case can you stop? Because I don't think it's funny.
Have we heard of truth in comedy, bitch?
Oh God. Or just be, sorry, go on.
No, or you just gotta, or just be like, you know, you can't with like, that is now my gentleman friend. And then I think when you talk to him, you know, just it don't say, I would say this too, whoever you talk to first, don't tell the second person anything the first person said.
Hell yes.
Meaning like, don't use that information to try to create she said she was actually never interested in you and that she thinks you're ugly. Like, it's like, don't do anything like that. Don't do anything like that thinking you're trying to change the dynamic. Just like, you have one conversation, you have another, and that's it. And just sort of asking him, you know, hey, because I know you guys have had a past or you've had a crush on her in the past. It makes me a little insecure. And I think you can say that. I think, you know, it's so scary to admit your vulnerability, but I do think that most people are receptive to it as long as it's said in a way that's easy to take in. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, not
it's
like
not accusatory.
Yes, and not like picking a fight that then after 2 hours is revealed in a torrent of tears that really you're afraid that he likes her. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
And if, and it's like, okay, you got to say that. And then also when you're like, oh, we live in the same place, and so when he comes, does he have to spend time? I don't want to have to share him. Then don't. Just literally be like, we're hanging out, we're doing our thing, and then you can schedule her on the books. Be like, okay.
Yeah, fuck the time away.
Exactly. And be like, hi, do you want to meet us for breakfast after we've made love? Then that can happen. Yeah, Andy, I said it. Made love.
No. I was laughing. Like 2 minutes ago, I had this flash of 80 sitting in a room with like 30 white 30-year-old improvisers sharing stories about Del Close. I don't know why that like that popped into my head. But
you're absolutely not wrong. And I was absolutely like, here's the most humiliating detail I could ever give you. I was like 19 and 20, and I had a fake ID so that I could go to bars and be around like improv people.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't even drink. I would just use it to get in to be around older improv dorks.
Oh, sure.
Of course, you had to hang.
I had to hang.
In New York, when you got to graduate from Triple Crown to go hang at, what was it, Muldoon's?
What's the name? McManus.
McManus. Oh.
Muldoon's. But also, it's so crazy the people we thought were cool. And then, And then when you're like, oh, Lord. Like, you go from thinking someone's cool to being like, I'm worried about him. You know?
I also did not understand how show business worked. So I thought all these, like, more senior Chicago improvisers were millionaires. I was like, they're, like, established in the industry. They're teachers here. They must be making the big bucks. And I had, like, absolutely no idea they were being paid, like, you know, $10 or whatever.
Right. So 10 insane. An hour. Oh, yeah. God. Paying $400 a month for their rent.
Going to the green room, looking through the couch for change.
God, the struggle is real.
Can we do one more?
Yeah.
Right. Hi, Andy, Naomi, and special guest. I love your podcast. Naomi, I actually found this podcast because you were on Best Friends with Nicole and Sashir, and I started binging it immediately. So really, let me get you to the point. I am 27 years old. Today marks 4 weeks since my boyfriend and I broke up. We were together for 8 months, but it was all long distance. We broke up because he lives in New York City. I live in the Poconos, and I'm unemployed, so I have been trying to find work in New York City. And I'm currently in school. I start my last year of grad school next week. So I've just been kind of busy and not able to afford some of the things that he can do. He is going to be 30 this year. He makes six figs. Like, homeboy is doing well for himself. So it just, you know, kind of got too hard for us. And finally, I recognized that he was unhappy, and I asked him if he thought it was best on a date, and he agreed without really fighting for it. So my question to you guys is, do you think it's too soon to try and pursue a friendship with him? I don't think that we should be a couple. I do think that breaking up was probably the right thing to do, although I am super sad still. He's coming up next month for his birthday for a week, and then we're going to a wedding together still in August because the bride invited me personally. So do you think that these are good things? Should I avoid seeing him for his birthday? Should I not go with him to the wedding in 2 months? I don't know what to do. I want to go. I think I'll be okay, but I could also be lying to myself. So whatever any advice you have would be super helpful. Thank you guys and love you.
Okay, we're behind. Okay, he said this was 2 months before the wedding. We're in August now. So we're coming to him so late. And I just pray that he hasn't gotten to this wedding yet.
AD, I saw you wag your finger. I want to go to you first.
I just don't want him to put himself in a position to create more pain for himself. Like, I feel like, you know, sad about the breakup is one feeling, but then being like, and now I'm going to spend his birthday and wedding, sexy wedding night dancery together is like, that's a recipe for reigniting feelings.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely. I said, they're going to make love. And that is something you can't do because he said, he was like, I'm still pretty sad. And so that is the problem. Here's a rule I have. Is it really like, does it have any like basis in fact? No. But I say when you're breaking up with somebody or when you've broken up, you know, but if it's amicable enough and you're sort of like, you know, should we hang out? Should we be friends? Do not talk to this person for at least half as long as you were together. So they were together 8 months. Y'all don't need to talk for four. Y'all don't need to talk for four. That's my rule. Because it's like,
that's my rule.
Yeah. Yeah, Andy, it is. Yeah, Andy, that is my rule. Okay? Because you need to, like, because, you know, in a relationship, we all get into these, like, patterns and habits. And so even if you say you're not together, you're used to engaging with each other in a couple-like way. And you got to break that couple-like pattern. And that's going to take more than at the time he called 4 weeks. Mm. You got to kind of forget him and, like, not talk to him that often. And I think that can help you. Then you kind of break that little pattern. And then you can start to look at this person and engage with them as a non-romantic, sexy friend.
I once read an article. I don't know where, and I don't remember when. But the article said that your brain sees a person who you were in a relationship with as your person for a relationship for 3 years after you break up. And that you can't, like, break that kind of, like, brain pathway for 3 years.
What?
So, three I mean, years. I love your rule, but I'm willing to add 2.5 years to it.
Wow. Three years. I could see that, actually. I mean, in terms of, like, there are definitely people who I dated back in college where I'm like, I guess if I saw them now, it would be okay. Like,
yeah, 15 years so. Later. No, I hope so, like, when you're now, you know, with the most dynamic
mask.
Mask.
I know.
Super mask.
No.
All of us agree on that, correct?
We all agree on that.
Man, you've ever dated.
No. I don't mean like that. Like,
in love with.
No, I don't mean like wanting that person. But as you're saying, that idea of you see somebody where you're like, oh.
Yeah.
You were There's once something. My person. Right? Like you were once like when I was like a young fool. Don't worry, Andy. You know you're my number one.
Andy, have you ever befriended an ex? Like purposely?
Purpose.
As opposed to just being like in the same like, oh, well, we dated, but now, you know, we're on a Harold team. I mean, I don't know what Second City does.
I would say my high school boyfriend and I are still friendly. And like we, you know, recently my mom ran into him and they had a nice conversation. I will tell you, actually, this is kind of a good juicy ex experience, which is the guy I was with before I met Connor was kind of bad to me in different ways. Yeah. He was like older and had money and had an apartment. And so for that reason, I was like, I'll do anything you say. And he kind of dicked me around a little bit. And I would say 4 or 5 years into me being on SNL, I received an email from him after not speaking to him for like close to 10 years.
Yep.
And it was, the email was like, I just wanted to apologize to you for how bad I was. And I basically wrote back, thanks.
Well, that's good though, that he apologized. I thought it was
sorry,
worse.
My dog's barking at the mere mention of this man.
We understand. Yeah, we understand.
Mabel understands when we're talking about hateful people.
That's true. She does. She starts like low growl. But I was worried that what I thought you were going to say initially is that he was like, he saw you on SNL and was just like trying to be friends again. You know what I mean? But at least, no, he at least
I think he
saw
knew better.
It. Yeah, he knew like, oh, I was trash. So that's good.
Yeah.
That's good. That's good. Thank goodness.
It was vindicating, but it was also like, why now, bitch?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Someone sees your face on a billboard or something. Was Shrill out yet when that happened?
No.
Oh, okay.
Not yet.
All right. Because I was like.
So now he's really sucking eggs.
Oh, I love when you're an old timey grandma with a phrase like sucking eggs.
I know. I immediately was like, is that even a mean thing? I don't even know. I think it is.
I like it.
No, I think I remember it from a Ren Stimpy episode when I was a kid.
Stimpy episode.
Where Ren told Stimpy to suck eggs or something. But I think, all right, not to like make this a circle, but like the connection between the two of you.
Uh-huh, go ahead.
I see as Naomi is an inner elderly person.
That's
like,
true.
Like in her heart, she's 72.
Absolutely, thank you.
I wonder if there's that kind of connection.
I feel that.
Are we two old gals?
I think we're old. I mean, I don't know about you, but like I really felt like even when I turned like 30, I was like, I've been feeling 30 since I was 11, so this feels great. Like, and actually, as I approach 40, I'm like, finally, like, I need to be getting to where I'm meant to be, you know?
Yeah. I feel that. But I'm also, lately, I've been afraid of death. So it's really weird. So, like, but I'm with you on that. I mean, that's literally most of the...
that's where we connect.
Fear of death. most of my Netflix half hour is about being an old lady and like the reasons why I'm just old in my heart. And I agree with you. Like when I was little, I was just like, I wanted to be an old lady. I wanted to be grown. I remember, you know who I used to think was the coolest or the fanciest was the lady on the subway during rush hour who was wearing, you know, like business suit, but then sneakers.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because she's going to change in those heels, not till she gets to the office. But I used to think, she's so cool and fancy. That's who I wanted to be. New Balance on the bottom and Marshall suit on the top.
I really hear you. Like, I really am at the point now where I'm like, I need to be comfortable. I can't have a hot temperature or a cold one. I just need to be, and it's so insane because I used to like be at lunch with my grandma and see her be like, "It's freezing in here," and now I'm like, "I'm her. It's absolutely. Me. I'm bad.
I'm bad. You're not bad, Adi. You're wonderful. You're the best in the game, and we're so, so happy you came and joined us for today's episode.
Yeah. This was a dream come true for me. I love you both.
We love you, too.
I wish I knew what to do with
it. I know, and you can't say it. I'll say it on our behalf.
We
love you, too. We love you, too. And we love you, the listener, and we'll see you next week.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.